With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
At Discount Tire, we know your time is valuable. Get 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online. Did you know Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Check out our current deals at DiscountTire.com or stop in and talk to an associate today. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.
This week on The Marketer's Report, Patrizio Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct to Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on building trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all, every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the data you need to grow. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Welcome back to another episode of Soccer Supernova with me, Amy Canavan. One of the latest shows being brought to you by A State of Mind. And on this show, I talk to some of the most interesting footballers and former footballers kicking around, and pretty much just anyone from that sort of area. Today, I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by the former Celtic goalkeeper, and currently he's at Raith Rovers with a plethora of clubs in between. Robbie Thompson, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thanks. I'm glad to be on.
Absolutely. We touched upon it there. Obviously, you are still Raith Rovers right now. I think you're one of the only, or maybe Danny Swanson actually. Danny Swanson's still playing. One of the only still current players kicking around. So thank you very much for joining us. Was growing up, was football always the dream for you?
Yeah, just like many young footballers, I would say so. Yeah, it was sort of my only goal growing up. I was lucky enough. I grew up with a footballing background. My dad being a footballer, so just naturally I followed that progression. So quite a boring answer, but no, that's the sort of the path that I'd only wanted to sort of go down.
Do you think you say that there? Obviously, your dad kicked around in the footballing world as well, and went into coaching sort of like yourself. So was there that added pressure that you sort of had to follow in his footsteps?
There was never pressure. That's a good thing, sort of, from both my parents. I'd never been forced to do anything. They sort of led me to own devices. I was lucky enough growing coming up. I had some fantastic coaches and I had a great football upbringing going through Celtic. So they never really had to push me too much from that side of things. It all came from my end. I just looked up to my dad. I loved the environment they worked in, and I just wanted to be part of that when I grew up.
So you went to Celtic at a very young age, at 8. But where did they catch your eye?
I remember I was away. I used to live down in England, but my dad played down there. And when I came back up, I got involved with a boys' club called Young Falkirk. So that was when I was like 6, 7. They were basically the pro youth set up that Falkirk had at the time. It wasn't quite set up. It was a own boys' club, and it was just run by the local dads and stuff. And then we actually done really well, and that's how I got noticed. I remember I played in a tournament when I was younger, and the Celtic scouts picked me up, and then from 8 years old, that was me right in amongst it.
Who was your boyhood club? Sorry, was it Celtic or was it something more through East?
No, to be honest, it was whoever my dad was at.
Yeah.
So when I was growing up, I would always get totally into grips with whoever he played for. So, and that was it. And then just as you grow older, you become sort of a lot more familiar with how football actually works, and it becomes a lot more serious. So those sort of ties go away. But I would say so. Growing up, my team would have been Newcastle, because my mum and my mum's side of the family, I've got a really big family from down there, and that's where my mum's from. So I would say sort of they would be sort of my teams growing up.
So you're at Celtic at 8, and then we talk about it quite a lot on this show, that perhaps young kids are tucked into an academy too soon and they're not really enjoying their football, just playing with their friends. Sorry, you obviously were part of that system. How did you feel a part of it?
I absolutely loved it. For me, it was the best football education I could possibly ever ask for. I do get why people sort of think that, but for me, because I was so driven to be a footballer and it's all I ever wanted, only ever wanted to play at the best sort of the highest level I possibly could, that was the ideal environment for me. But like I said, I can understand why people have got a different perspective on it, but from my own experience, it was definitely the right place for me, and somewhere that I loved sort of growing up and getting that football education.
What's the intensity like, even at such a young age, when you're in a Celtic academy?
You're always expected to win. A lot of it, they always go down, oh, development this, development that, but the environment that we set and the teams that I had that I played in growing up were filled with brilliant players. So it didn't matter if it was all towards development or whatever. We were good enough, and we knew we should be winning. So that sort of naturally installed that mentality in you, and that's something that I would like to think I had and took in my career moving forward.
Who were the sort of guys that you came through with at that age?
My age group was James Keatons, that's playing, Lewis Toshney, and then Callum McGregor, Dylan McGeoch, guys like that. I had a really fantastic youth team. I was looking, I actually came up across a picture the other day, and it won one under 19s teams, and I think every single one is in the picture bar one or two are still playing at a good level professionally. So it just shows you that it doesn't happen very often, that a lot of, we had a really good crux of young players coming through at the time.
Absolutely. And do you think even from such a young age you can see that the guys around you, Cal McGregor, Dylan McGeoch, that they will make it to the top? James Keatons as well, of course.
You do. But you do also see a lot of the other side, a lot of guys you think, right, he's definitely going to make it, and they don't. Everyone's got their own paths, and maybe someone that's flying when they're younger, maybe they come up against some adversity, might be sort of injuries or maybe personal life or loss of form. That's when sort of the other guys sort of fall away by the wayside a little bit. But it's the ones that have got the strong characters that can overcome that and obviously showcase their quality that they've got.
Obviously, so you are a goalkeeper. So when you're coming through at Celtic, it's your Artur Boric, your David Marshall. What are these guys sort of like, even the influence they can have on you at such a young age?
I remember David Marshall was sort of one of my shining lights that made me want to be a footballer, because I remember as a youngster, David Marshall was sort of 19, 20, and he used to help out with the junior academy on a Monday and a Thursday night. So that was when I was just coming through, sort of eight, 9 years old, and obviously have that famous game against Barcelona. And I always remember watching him on the TV, having an amazing performance. And then the following week, he was down taking young goalies at the junior academy. And I was just like, I couldn't believe it. I was just in awe of him because I just watched him on the TV putting this, play this amazing game. And that was a sort of, the sort of light bulb moment for me to go like, well, that's what I want. I want to be like that one day. And it was just those, having the opportunity to look up to those guys. And it was quite good, the pathway at Celtic. We always, even if you're a young goalkeeper, you would get the opportunity to train with, or you'd be able to watch the sort of older age groups and the older teams train. And for me, that was sort of what I sort of strive for, because I always wanted to be involved with that sort of older level. And I was lucky when I was progressing through, I managed to do that quite a lot.
When you were part of that progression, did you ever get to play in the Reserves League? Or was that still kicking around?
Yeah, it was. I managed to play a couple of games. It was more just the odd one before it changed to the sort of under 20 format.
Do you think that's where we're missing now? Again, we talk about it so often that there's just not that whole plethora of players really coming through the Scottish game. You're having to look elsewhere. Do you think that is what's missing, that league where it was just that step below and you would have the first team players coming into it as well, and that's where the education really, really kicks in?
Oh, definitely. I couldn't agree more with that, because when I was growing up at in the Celtic youth team, you had the under-19s, which was serious, and then you had the reserves, which was serious. But now, like, see, when you go past the sort of 17s, 18s, it's just like only development. It's just like, oh, you got to go and moan, or you got to play these friendly games, and it's just not the same. It's so much better if you had that sort of real proper structure, the proper league, and the sort of the setup and the rules and the regulations has got to be looked at a lot as well to make it really a lot more serious. And when first team players are getting asked to play reserve games just now, it's not the same. No one likes to play reserve games as being a first team player, but when there's a better league and there's a proper structure and it's a bit more serious, it does make it a lot more enjoyable for the senior pros as well. But so I definitely think there's something that needs to be looked at there.
There is scope for it, and we can only hope in the near future, obviously, that does come around. So you're coming through, obviously, and you still have the 17s, 18s, 19s. When did you really feel, I can make a career out of this?
I think I've always felt it, to be honest. Just growing up, just through everyday life, just looking up to my dad. That was his job. That was all I've ever knew when I've been growing up, seeing him going away to training, going to games. When Easter holidays or whatever, I would go in. And I was going to training with them, and it's just something that I almost thought that was normal. I didn't realise how hard it would be to forge a career, but I think all the way through my career, I felt it was natural to go and be a footballer.
So you get through that, the academy and the 19s, the reserves, and then that registration for the first team sort of comes around and you're registered for the 2013 campaign, the Champions League campaign actually as well. How much a moment is that? You're signing your professional contract and all of those big milestones, how big are they?
They were really, really important to me, I think. I was lucky enough growing up, Tommy Burns gave me my first professional contract when I was... I actually had it when I was 13. I knew I was going into that. So he had a great eye for earmarking younger players, and it wasn't just myself. He'd done it through a lot of the top players coming through. And I still had a little bit of time left on that, but through my hard work, I managed to get another contract. And that's when it became a little bit more serious in terms of trying to get a progression up into the first team and around it. But being involved in the first team every day, training and stuff like that was something I look back on now, and I'm really proud to have been a part of it. A lot of people go, oh, let it go or whatever, but I don't want to. I look back on it in a real sort of fondness, and I took a lot of sort of learning opportunities from that, and things that have stuck with me and are still with my sort of in my day to day sort of life just now, and when I go about my training. So it's something I look back on with real fondness.
Sort of the unsung hero at Celtic and at Scotland as well. How much of an influence has Stevie Woods had in your career?
Woods has been massive throughout, because when I go back to that story with David Marshall in the Junior Academy, Stevie Woods, he was the lead goalkeeping coach at the time at the junior academy when he was still playing. So I've been lucky enough on my progression throughout sort of coming up through the ranks at Celtic. It sort of went side by side with Woodsy. So when I was going through the ages, that was it was Woodsy's natural progression as well. So when I just left school, Woodsy was the under-19s coach. And just as I went full-time, Woodsy became the first-team goalkeeping coach. That's when Colin Meldrum came in to sort of when Woodsy jumped up. So they were my two sort of main figures all the way through. It'd be Woodsy, and towards the end, when I was training with the first team, it would be Woodsy. But when I first went in full-time, it was Colin Meldrum that also had a massive influence on me.
So the likes of Colin Meldrum, you've even spoke about Tommy Burns there and Stevie Woods. Just what sort of, how much does that give you going forward that you just want to, you know, Tommy Burns has given you that first professional contract, you just want to do him proud, really?
Yeah, it's when you get given an opportunity at Celtic, all the coaches and especially guys like that, they make you realise how lucky you are. I was fortunate that I was brought up in a good way that I really appreciated it. A lot of players maybe don't. But I knew the magnitude of what it meant to play for a team like that, and I never took it for granted because I'd seen how hard my dad had had to work and the level that he's been playing at and how hard they needed to work to get there. And I was involved in such an elite environment, and I never took any day for granted.
It was an elite environment, and as we're coming towards the later stage of your Celtic career, is there a realisation that obviously amongst goalkeepers you're only ever going to get one on the pitch at a time, and when that, obviously not at Celtic right now, but when that number one is established, how hard is it, do you think? I think it is time to move on now.
It is hard, but you've got to, as a goalkeeper, especially a young goalkeeper, you've got to play the longer game a little bit. It's all about getting experience, and I went on loan a couple of times in my last season there. And it was great to sort of just gain that experience, and it's totally different to playing wherever I played before. And when you go out there, you sort of get a realisation of, right, well, this is the real stuff. And then when you come back and I played the odd reserve game and stuff like that, it just wasn't the same. And you get that sort of appetite for first team football, and it's something that I wanted to just strive for and get more and more of.
So you got that taste on your two loan moves. What enticed you to Rochdale then?
Basically, when the time came to leave Celtic, I had the opportunity to go and try and forge a career down in England. I thought to myself, a lot of players play their full career up in Scotland and never ever get that chance. But I just thought when I was leaving such a big club, my stock was quite high. I'd earned a not bad reputation, which sort of interested a few teams in England. So I just thought, right, I'm going to go for it. My plan was to try and dot around about there and forge a career in England, but that's football for you. But I'm just glad I went for it and gave it a shot anyway. It's I look back in it with fond memories, and it's good life experience and it's good football experience as well to go and try somewhere new.
Absolutely, and it is all about progression. So you went down to Rochdale, it didn't quite work out. I think you were number two to Josh Lillis, who's been there for eternity, it seems. And then you come back up here and you basically, you follow in your dad's, well, gloves really, your dad's footsteps, and you head up the road. So what brought you to Cowdenbeath?
It was just really to go and play, because I had a really good experience down at Rochdale, I never played enough, only played one game. It was a successful season for us. We ended up getting promoted to League One in England. But when you look at your CV and you go, right, I've only played 20 games in my full career, it makes you realise, right, I need to go and try and get a full season under my belt and see where it takes me. And I was so delighted I got the opportunity to go and play for Cowdenbeath at the time, because they were in the Championship. I was still a relatively young goalie. I was only 21. And Jimmy Nicol gave me that opportunity to go and play every week for Cowdenbeath, and it was the best thing I've ever done. There's a bit of a gamble, because if it didn't work out, that could be the sort of decline, but that opportunity, I grasped it, and I went and done pretty well, and I managed, that was the sort of the making of me as a young goalkeeper.
You've done exceptionally well, and I think you walked away with Player of the Year and Young Player of the Year. How tricky is it winning those awards in a season where the club, it wasn't the most successful? I think there was maybe a relegation. What's it like, personally, as you say, it's one of your best seasons?
It was good. It was really rewarding because that was, like I said, it was a gamble I took at the start of the season to go, right, I'm going to test myself out here. I'm going to put myself right in the shop window and I knew I was going to be busy. And that was the way I looked at it. And it was good to look back on the end of the season and go, performance-wise, generally, I went and proved myself at a good level. And that was sort of what I needed to move forward and progress with my career in Scotland.
So then Cowdenbeath comes to an end. Obviously, you've had that extremely successful season, and then you're sort of dithering around. There's talks of Hamilton Accies and Queen of the South and whatever. How does it all come around there? That, like you see, your stock's quite high. You were doing pretty well. Did you think there was maybe a bigger club maybe could be after you?
There was at one stage, yeah, because when I left Cowdenbeath, I managed to get a move to Queen of the South, and they were obviously a bigger team in the league. They'd just been in the playoffs the previous season, and I started my time really, really well there. And I was putting on some good performances, but it was a different type of pressure. When I was at Cowdenbeath, it was all about this sort of damage limitation almost, and try and keep the team in games. And then when I moved to Queen of the South, the pressure was to go and win and try and get up the top end of the league and try and get in the playoffs. So it was just, I look back at it as more learning experience to go through different sort of challenges in my career. And there has been times that I've had a bit more interest or whatever, but it's that different type of pressure that you need to cope with rather than just surviving and trying to just keep your team in games. It's about that consistency of performance. That's a whole different type of pressure that I think until you get older, it's something that you need to really learn, and you need to get the experience to sort of get better at that.
So again, you've got that experience behind you, and then there's sort of like a calamity at Hamilton, and they're in a goalkeeping crisis. How does it feel for yourself? You're sort of walking in and you just got to walk straight in. How does that feel? What's that like, that experience?
But at the time, I was at Queen of the South, and Hamilton gave me the opportunity to go up to the Premier League. It's the first time I'd been around it since I left Celtic, so I grasped the opportunity. They did have a lot of injuries at the time. I had a couple of goalkeepers out, and it was almost like a crisis cry, like you said, to go, come in, can you help us, because all the goalkeepers are injured. So I went in there, I took the gamble again. I got right stuck into it, got my teeth into it, and worked as hard as I possibly could, and I really enjoyed my time there, and it was good to get in amongst a first team at a Premier League level.
So you've been at Premier League level, big club. When you go to another big club, and you sort of heading home really, and you go to Falkirk.
Yeah, that was a sort of, when I was at Hamilton, it was good. I was involved. I was on the bench all the time. I came on once in a game in the Premier League, and that was about it. But it sort of goes back to the time of looking at your career and going, right, I've not really played much for the last sort of 6 months or whatever, so I need to go and test myself again. And Falkirk came around, and one of their goalkeepers left, and it's obviously a massive club in Scotland. They've got a really good fan base, and it was my local team at the time. And when the opportunity came along to go there, it was a sort of a no-brainer for me, more of a chance to go and play. Falkirk were going well at the time in the Championship, and I sort of went for it again. That's the sort of, when I get a good gut feeling in my career, I normally just jump into things and try and go all in, and that's what I've done there.
Again, and it's just all about game time, and it's what you're craving. And then really, the most stable place you've been in your career is where you are right now at Wraith. So you just head along the roads at Wraith, and how comfortable have you felt in that, in that role?
It's been good since I joined the club. Obviously, my dad having a really strong connection with the club, and Wraith Rovers is probably one of my first ever early memories of football, when I went and watched my dad, and that going to Starks Park and going on the pitch and stuff. That's one of the things that resonate me when I think about football as a youngster. So it was good to step in there and go and get that opportunity there to sort of go and establish myself even more. And it's been great. I've really enjoyed my time at the club so far.
So you came in and you really did hit the ground running at Wraith, and then you got that terrible injury. I think it was against Stenhouse Muir. You finally, we touched on it, you've got that little bit of progression, a bit of stability, you're in that starting 11. How crushing is that injury?
Yeah, it was a horrible injury. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. You hear a lot of the stories about the ACLs and the knee injuries and stuff like that, but the Achilles injury that I had was horrible. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. It was a horrible long rehab as well. There's not much you can do. It was really monotonous at times. But like I said, they're the things that come along in your career, and I like to think I'd have made me stronger as a person, stronger as a goalkeeper, definitely better as a goalkeeper. Since I've came back, there's a lot of time to reflect and sort of look at your game in a lot more detail, and I definitely feel stronger as a result. But yeah, at the time, it was horrible.
You talked about the rehab there. What was it like when you went down south? I think you went to St George's. How amazing were the setups down there?
Oh, that was brilliant. I talked about elite environments before when I was at Celtic, and just to go away from the club and get the opportunity to go down there and do my rehab, it was fantastic. I think I spent 3 weeks down there, and that was part of the English PFA. They organised that. So once you play a season in England, you're a member of the English PFA for life. And that was one of the benefits that you get. It's all free of charge, and they put you up in the Hilton that's on site at St George's Park, and it's just intense rehab all week. And I went down 3 times, and it was, anyone that knows me, like I'm a quite an intense person, and that environment and those facilities and surrounded by those types of people was just, I thrived upon it, and it was something I really enjoyed, and it definitely helped me in terms of my recovery.
Were the England team there at the time? Were you getting any sort of glimpses?
Yeah, I seen them. They were just sort of, when I was going one time, they were just leaving to go on an international trip. But I remember like going for lunch, because Gareth Southgate and stuff, they're based there.
Right.
As part of their job, they've got to be based there. So you see him dotting about. I seen Phil Neville, who was the women's team manager. He was floating about as well. And it's just second nature, because those guys, they're based there all the time, and they see the PFA rehab athletes come in, and they know who they are, and they just sort of, how are you getting on with your rehab and stuff like that. And it was good to rub shoulders with these guys, and it just gives you that little reminder of what, how the other side live almost, like how the elite guys are used to the facilities and the sort of environment down there. And this gives you a wee realisation of what you can achieve again.
You talk so highly of your time at Celtic and Tommy Barnes and Stevie Woods and all of that. Are these the guys that sort of inspired you then to go down that coaching route?
Yes.
Or was
yes
it your dad?
Not. Yeah, I think obviously my dad had a natural progression in that as well. But I think as an individual, it's something, goalkeeping's been my passion since God knows how long. Like I wasn't never one of those young footballers that young goalkeepers that wanted to be a striker to start off with, and then just fell into the goals. I was always only ever in the goals. I had no interest in playing up front, no interest in being an outfield player. I just wanted to be a goalkeeper. So that's right from day dot, that's been my passion. Right the way through, even at 28 now, it's still my passion. So I think naturally that's the only thing when I'm not playing, when I'm not involved sort of on the pitch. During my spare time, I just want to help as many young goalkeepers as I possibly can to sort of help their game and enhance their game. So the coaching side of things was sort of natural for me.
You started at an incredibly young age, especially going through Celtic, and that's you're back doing some academy work there. During lockdown, obviously, Wraith Rovers weren't playing for a large portion. Has that really just kept you going, coaching the kids and, like you say, just filling your time?
Yeah, it was a massive help to me, especially when football stopped. But it's something that I've taken very seriously since I moved back up from England. Even when I was younger, at a young age, a lot of the time a goalkeeping coach was never present. I was maybe only get 1 or 2 goalkeeping sessions a week when I was growing up as a youngster. And I would always take ownership, even when I was like 13, 14, to go and lead a goalkeeping session and try and make it beneficial But more so when I came back up from England, I had a bit more spare time, and I wasn't involved in Celtic yet, and never had my own company yet. So that was a sort of, during my spare time, I got stuck into that. I asked Celtic for the opportunity to maybe go and coach with the junior academy, and I was so lucky to have been given that opportunity. And then I set up my own sort of goalkeeping side of things called Pro Performance Goalkeeping. It was originally Pro Performance Academy with my two pals, Callum Tapper and Blair Munn. But recently, in the last couple of years, I've moved away and solely focused on the goalkeeping side of things. So we sort of run it as one, but I'm in charge of the goalkeeping side of things, and that's sort of what I do away from club.
Yeah, and obviously at your club as well, you're in a sort of coaching role at Wraith as well as being a player. You're only 28. How is that sort of received by your teammates?
That's the sort of the thing moving forward, because I've just recently been given that role, and I'm delighted for the opportunity. The club have put a lot of faith in me. The manager's put a lot of faith in me to give me that opportunity. Like you said, such a young age, but he obviously sees something in me that he sort of can hand the task over to me, and I'm hoping to thrive upon that sort of responsibility. And it's just getting that balance. It's quite good, because go back to my dad again, and Colin Meldrum and Woodsy that I grew up with, they all had that experience of being a player coach first before they transitioned into being a proper coach. I like to think I've got a lot of years left in me, and the sort of playing wise, but I've kind of been doing the role already. David McGurn has been at the club the last couple of years, but he's only part-time. So whenever Davey's not been in, I've been given the opportunity to go and lead the goalkeeping sessions. But to officially be given the role for next season, it's something that I'm looking forward to getting stuck into. And it's not going to be too different. A lot of the players, and they know what I do anyway. It's something that I've been doing for the last 2 years. So hopefully it'll be a natural progression into that role, and hopefully it can be beneficial moving forward.
You're certainly not going to believe in your spot in between the six sticks anytime soon then, no?
No, always thrive to sort of to go and play. I've not got that urge to hang up the gloves at all. I really feel like I've got a lot to offer on a playing sense. But also now I've got that role, so I've got to make sure I'm the best coach I can possibly be for the goalkeepers that are there at the club at the moment. And that's the sort of, both of my roles are pretty clear from the manager. It's to, on the pitch, to try and perform the best I can and try and forge my way into that starting 11. And the other role is to be the best coach I can be and serve the goalkeepers at the club in the best way possible.
Absolutely. Well, Robbie, thank you so much for joining us. I've thoroughly enjoyed our chat. All the best as we're going forward in the coaching role as well, and fingers crossed we'll be seeing Wraith kicking on a few more victories like the other night.
Yeah, I know, we've been playing well, we're coming at a good bit of form towards the end of the season, so hopefully we can keep it going.
Message and data rates may apply. Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration experts, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today, because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to anyone that texts EASY to 203203. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad, because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment.
People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part? Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let Bosley show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY to 203203. That's B-A-S-Y to 203203.
This week on The Marketer's Report, Patrizio Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct-to-Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on building trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all, every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the data you need to grow. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.